Every year on the third Sunday of January, we celebrate the feast of the Santo Niño, a feast that is unique to the Philippines, and it's celebrated in honor of the very rich historical connection between the Santo Niño devotion and the arrival and phenomenal growth of the Catholic faith here in the Philippine archipelago. Well, I won't tell the whole story this time or recount the account about Magellan and the giving of the original Santo Niño image to Queen Juana on the occasion of her baptism. I hope you know that story. We have been focused on it a lot in the last several years because we have been celebrating the 500th anniversary of that moment from 1521 up until 2021, and here we are, it's already 2023, so in a couple of months it will be 502 years since that moment. You know, the jubilee of the 500 years of Christianity in the country got interrupted or disrupted by the pandemic. Here in the Diocese of Parañaque, we just closed the holy door at the cathedral a couple of weeks ago. So that's where we are. But for now, I'd like to focus not so much on the historical part, but on the broader meaning of this feast of the Santo Niño. We can identify three main points that arise from this feast day. First of all, that God became a child, Jesus Christ. Secondly, that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to be like children. And then thirdly, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as children of God, we are called to welcome and love children. So to summarize these three points, God as a child, we as children, and others as children whom we love. The first point is the most important. That is that God became a child, that the Word became flesh. This is what we have just celebrated in the Christmas season that ended earlier this week on Monday. In a sense, today's feast of the Santo Niño is just an extension of the Christmas season. This holy child, Jesus, is the very center of the Santo Niño devotion. That's who he is. Jesus is the very center of our faith. He's the very center of human history. He's the very center of our lives. If we don't know this, we're not going to be able to make any sense out of the other two points that I mentioned, the call to be like children and the call to love children. No, we have to get this first, Jesus. Jesus Christ is everything to us. He has come as the marvelous fulfillment of the prophecy that we heard in today's first reading from Isaiah chapter 9. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. Here is a child who is a king, who is a father, who is a hero, who is Prince of Peace, who is God. This is what the image of the Santo Niño and devotion to Santo Niño should help us understand and welcome and love. If the devotion doesn't help us grow in our love for Jesus Christ, well, then there's something wrong. So that's what we're celebrating today. That's the first point. Secondly, be like a child. Be like a child. This surprising bit of advice comes right from the mouth of Jesus himself. In the gospel I just read, the disciples ask Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, if you think about it, it's not that hard a question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? God is the greatest. If we really understand what the kingdom of heaven is all about, it's about God and our union with him, our worship of him. God is the greatest in the kingdom. And it doesn't take much of a step to say, well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the greatest in the kingdom. And he's standing right in front of them. But the fact that the disciples ask this question shows that they're not really thinking about the kingdom of heaven. They're thinking about earthly glory, and they're thinking about themselves. So they have it all mixed up even before they get any answer. Just asking that question the way they're asking it is the problem. They're in competition with each other. They all want to be the greatest. They all want to climb to the top. They all want to be the one everyone looks up to. Does it sound familiar? That's how most of us are most of the time. That's the typical attitude of everybody in the world. We're focused on ourselves. We're focused on a world that revolves around us, and that's a problem. It's a common attitude, but it's a trap. It's a big trap. A trap from which Jesus sets us free. Now, his response to this question is, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Instead of saying, I am, he does something very surprising. He takes a little child. A little child, we don't even know his name. He was probably not even noticed. The disciples didn't even know that child was there. An ordinary, poor little child. And he says, amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. So they're asking about the greatest. He's saying, you're not even going to make it at all unless you become like little children. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See what a reversal this short statement makes? They're thinking about rising up, and he's talking about humbling themselves. The way to greatness is not by climbing up. The way to greatness is by going down. This is the key to the spiritual life. So what does he really mean here? What does it mean that we must become like children? It can't mean that we have to be smaller. It can't mean that we have to unlearn what we have learned. It can't mean that we have to be immature or ignorant or physically weaker. It does mean that we have to become like Jesus himself, who became a child, Santo Niño. It means being humble. It means being dependent. It means being willing to serve, willing to put the good of others ahead of our own good. It means not being selfish, not being focused on being the greatest. Real greatness comes from giving, not from taking or from receiving. And that's the secret of Christianity. And Jesus is the perfect model of it. He comes to give. Let you look at the Santo Niño. Why is he a great model? Why is he a victorious king? Because he gives, he serves, he sacrifices himself for the sake of others. That's what he's calling us to do when he says, be like a little child. Okay, so Jesus first. Secondly, we ourselves are to be like children. The third point is this call to love children. And Jesus states it himself right here. Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. So to receive a child is to receive Jesus himself. And then he puts it in a negative way by saying, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. He connects children with heaven, children with angels, children as a kind of means by which we can be connected to God. Welcome the child, receive the child, do not despise the child. Okay, that's the gospel. And someone might say, well, that's not that hard, is it? I mean, we love children. Who despises children? Well, some people do, but most people love children. And this is the Philippines. I mean, love of children is so deep in the culture. Even the devotion to Santo Niño is evidence of love for children. Yes, but I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but this is really important. Yesterday, I looked up the most recent data from the PSA, the Philippine Statistics Authority. This just came out in November, so this is just 2 months old. The total, I'm just reading to you from the report, from the PSA. The total fertility rate, the TFR, of Filipino women aged 15 to 49 declined from 2.7 children per woman in 2017 to 1.9 children per woman in 2022. From 2.7 5 years ago to 1.9 last year. Hence, this is what the report says, hence the Philippines is already below the replacement fertility level of 2.1 children per woman. Replacement level is 2.1. If we want to have a stable society, a society that's not declining, you have to have at least 2.1 children per woman. The survey shows that the Philippines' total fertility rate has plummeted since the 1970s. However, the decline from 2017 to 2022 was the sharpest ever recorded. The Philippines has lower fertility than Indonesia, Vietnam, and Malaysia. So that's the statistics, and this is really, really disturbing. Now, I know there are many, many factors involved here, and each family is in a unique situation. Many couples want more children and can't have them. There's a staggering rise of infertility all over the world. There are medical factors, there are economic factors, and the pandemic alone is a huge factor. Who knows how that has affected our families. So there's no judgment here on any particular family or any particular married couple or any particular woman. That's not my point. But let's let this sink in on the large scale. A country that claims to love children is now not even producing enough children to replace itself. That's a very serious sign that something is seriously wrong. It doesn't mean any particular person is wrong, but the society is collapsing before our very eyes. And this has been in the Western countries for years. European countries have terrible replacement, right? They're well below replacement level to having children. So it's a serious sign that children are not being welcomed, that this admonition of Jesus and the gospel is not being followed. We're not living according to the gospel. We're not following the biblical attitude toward children, which is to welcome and treasure children. People might say otherwise, but actions speak louder than words, and our actions are saying it's bad to have more children. That a child is a burden, a child is a liability, a child is too costly. That's a problem. So on this feast day, we all have to ask ourselves, how we can foster welcoming, an attitude of welcoming of children, each child, and how we can avoid the world's trap of despising even one little one. Do we look down on mothers who have more than two children? Make inappropriate jokes about them. I've heard this countless times. Women who have three or more children, people actually make jokes about them as if they don't know what they're doing, as if they're doing something wrong. Do we act as if women with large families are missing out on more important things? Do we act as if they should be fostering their careers, or they should be looked down on as pathetic? That's a worldly attitude. That's not a Christian attitude. What do we really value? What do our families really value? If we value children, or if we don't value children, if we don't welcome children, if we don't care for children, if we don't make the costly, sacrificial, other-centered decision to have children, then there's something really wrong with us. Let me throw out one final statistic that came, this is not from the PSA, this is from the church. In places where the total fertility rate goes down, faith and church participation also go down. Where fertility rates go down, faith goes down. Where fertility rates go down, participation in the church goes down. And that's happening here too. See, there's a link between love of God and love of children. If we love God, we love children. If our love for God declines, diminishes, so does our love for children and our willingness to welcome them, which is a sacrificial attitude. So these two go together. So let's on this feast day, Santo Niño, let's open our hearts to love. Love of God, first of all. Love of God, the first commandment. Love of God who has come among us as a child. Santo Niño, let us humble ourselves to be more like him. He's asking us to do this. And let us strive to grow in our love for neighbor, especially the little ones.